Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, happy Monday, and welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, broadcasting live here from cold and fall-like Florissant, Missouri. Leaves are coming down, gutters are getting filled, lots of work for me to do, but I'm so happy to be here with you this morning. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I'm continuing my special teaching series on the Ten Commandments, and I have configured a program together that honors both fathers and mothers with this important commandment today, because that's what the program is about. And I want to pay a special tribute to two very important women in Iran. Well, actually, one is no longer in Iran, but we'll talk about that later. But the fifth commandment is so important in our culture, and I want to quote this commandment to you, and then I'm going to explain a little bit about what I'm going to do. We've been studying the Ten Commandments. Last time together, we talked about the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I explained that in real retrospect, the important issue here is not a particular day of observance, although we as Christians observe, if you will, the Sabbath day on Sunday, the resurrection of Christ, and we meet together as believers in community. But I pointed out in talking about the fourth commandment that Jesus is our Sabbath rest, that we find all of our righteousness, all of our rest, all of our salvation by resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to forgive all of our shame and guilt. And so as I pointed out last time we were together, that we as Christians don't strive to work. It's not about a certain day, because Paul dealt with a lot of Judaizers in the time he wrote his epistles, that wanted to make one particular day, that is the true worship day. And Paul pointed out that Christ has disarmed all rulers and authorities and all legal ordinance codes. The Mosaic law was nailed to the cross. And the important issue is not a particular day, but a person, that Christians find their true rest, their true Sabbath rest in Christ. Now, we talked about that last time, and just for your sake, I did a little review. If you're interested in listening to my teaching in depth on that, just scan my Facebook page, and the link will be there. Today, I want to talk to you about the all-important fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it might go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. These important commandments transcend culture and time, and therefore this is God's authoritative word and command for today. The movement of relativism, the skeptics that say there is no absolute truth, have no firm foundation and anchor in life, but the Ten Commandments, the ten words thundered from Sinai by God to Moses, written on tablets of stone. These commands transcend time and culture, and they're important and to be observed in all by all people in all places for all time and not bound by culture. And I think you would agree with me today there is an apt defiance of authority in our culture. Everything from anti-government to anti-family to anti-parents. And so the job and responsibility that God has empowered parents with comes with a cost today. There is a violent upsurgence of anti-authority, and parents, instead of being obeyed, are being shunned and in some cases even killed. But notice this commandment has a promise. When you honor your father and mother as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be long. So God is inserting a promise in there. When we are obedient to our parents, our life is preserved. It's lengthened according to God's word. Well, everywhere around us, Western pop culture tells us that youth is grand and that our elders have little to offer. Fathers are often portrayed on television and movie as clueless at best and downright stupid or arrogant or ignorant at worst. Old age is seen as something we must fear, a fate we must postpone at all costs. Well, how different is that from what God's word tells us about our elders? From the Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, we are taught in various ways to respect our parents, that it is good for godly people to reach a ripe old age, and that our elders and duly instituted authorities are to be obeyed. And that is because God himself has established all authority, even the rulers of nations. So ultimately, our Creator's moral law establishes this principle. The fifth commandment revealed in today's message is the foundation upon which respect for elders and authorities is built. As question and answer of 105 of the Heidelberg Catechism says, God calls us explicitly to honor our parents because the family is the foundation of human society. And before sin entered the world, parents were to raise children to glorify and serve the Lord. The need to honor authorities is not a consequence of the fall. Rather, the command to obey those over us reflects the way in which God has ordered his universe. He's a moral God. At the top is our Creator, and under him are authorities who are to obey him, primarily mothers and fathers. Under parents are children who must obey their fathers and mothers as they obey the Lord. If sin had never entered into creation, this structure would have remained. Thus, if children do not honor their parents, all other earthly authorities will collapse. And we see proof of this every day in homes where children are not required to obey their parents. Neighborhoods where fathers are absent, and many other places, you see the decadence in the inner city. Single moms, no fathers, African Americans growing up without a parent. You see just the drugs, the decay, the decadence. And God has structured this authority for our health and well-being, for the health and well-being of society. And, of course, we have the gay movement that is a definite challenge to the family structure, to the parents, I would mention, and it's a threat to the family as well. And so God has placed this authority. We should look up to those who God has placed over us and treat them with honor, obedience, and gratefulness. I want to focus in on the ways I want to talk to you today about the fifth commandment. I want to pay tribute specifically to the mothers of Iran. And what I mean by that is that when I think of honoring our fathers and mothers, I think of these particular mothers in Iran who, acting as good parents, as good mothers, have suffered so much. Because under the Iranian regime, the family is destroyed. And in the case of these two mothers, these are examples of two dedicated mothers trying their best to raise their family, their children, under horrible circumstances, under an oppressive government regime. The first mother I want to talk to you today about, who's in prison, is Maryam Akbari Monfarid, and she's in prison as a mother in Evin prison. She was forced to spend her childhood visiting family members in state prisons and cemeteries. Her three brothers and sisters, all political prisoners, were executed without a trial in the 1980s, and now Maryam is a political prisoner herself. Maryam Akbari Monfarid, who is in the women's ward at Evin prison, despite her illness, is deprived of medical treatment in hospital while her illness's condition is getting more complicated. She suffers from severe pain in the knee and foot because of prevention of treatment for her rheumatism disease. And this is while prison officials, despite awareness of her physical condition, have refused to send her to medical centers for treatment. Now, just this year in May, political prisoner Maryam Akbari Monfarid's husband, Hassan Jafari Hatman, was summoned in Tehran for an interrogation. He was unaware of why he was being summoned, but he went to the Ministry of Intelligence office anyway. When he got there, he was abused. An official said that his wife's sentence would be extended by an extra 3 years. They explained to Hassan that this was because his wife was writing about her siblings and the tens of thousands of other political prisoners who were killed during the 1988 massacre. And she was writing these things in open letters from prison. And last year, 2016, Maryam filed a formal complaint calling for an investigation into the 1988 massacre. And she wrote several letters. This is a massacre under the rule of Khomeini in which he relentlessly killed, hanged, executed 30,000 political prisoners. Most of them were Mojahedin. Now, this is horrible. She's been in prison since the end of 2009 and under this medical condition I described to you. She was given a 15-year sentence on the charge of enmity against God, they called it. However, her only crime was to speak to relatives over the phone who are members of the People's Mojahedin Organization. Now, the PMOI is a legitimate opposition group that is fighting for the rights of the people of Iran. Now, she needs medical treatment, but Evin prison authorities refuse to let her go to a hospital. And her husband said in an interview, despite her detention for nearly 8 years now, she continues to be denied the right to a prison leave and does not enjoy any of her legal rights. She has no rights at all. Now, this is really sad. Her husband went on to describe that members of my wife's family were executed in the 1980s, and her siblings, which are members of MEC, at that time they were in Camp Ashraf in Iraq, and my wife had spoken to them several times on the phone, and this is her charge. I was present when my wife was tried at the 15th branch of the Revolutionary Court. I was holding my young daughter, and Judge Salavati told my wife, "You are paying the price for your brothers and sisters." Then I was left with three young girls. This is a man, her husband, that has to raise three young girls whose mother has been in prison for 6.5 years. It is nearly 7 years that they've taken away my wife, Hassan says, and I am left behind with three girls. This is so sad. This is one of the reasons I'm doing this program today, to honor them as parents in the most difficult, dark trial of their life. And you can join me in petitioning for her release and praying for Miriam as a mother, of the God-ordained role to be a good mother to her children, and this man, her husband, Hassan, who has to raise her three children while she's in prison. Please, please pray for their soon relief. Please pray for Miriam's medical condition as well. I also this morning want to focus in on my dear friend as a mother that has suffered so much under the Iranian regime with the loss of her daughter. Her name is Sholeh Pakravan, and her daughter, Rahane Jabari, was executed. This Wednesday will be 3 years since her execution. She was hanged for defending herself against a former intelligence agent that tried to rape her. And in my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, this is what Sholeh writes, and I copied it in the preface of the book. "My beloved daughter, I will release your words like seeds, a tree whose fruit that cries, the cries of justice and humanity. You will be the leader of those women who live in the shadows of rape, day in and day out. Women who are living in the shadows, fearing an unjustified death resulting from rulings tainted with administrative corruption and patriarchy." So in the beginning of my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, I'm quoting Sholeh Pakravan, Rahane's mother, talking about her prison letters and how she will have them published and released to be a voice of hope to other Iranian women. In my book, I describe the last meeting that Sholeh had with her daughter, Rahane, in prison. And this is on page 29 of my book. And Sholeh has come into the prison and with her family, and she urges Rahane to come sit on her lap. I want to read to you this incident that happened almost 3 years ago. It was on Saturday, October 24th, I believe it was, that they met. Friday, October 24th, 2014, that they met for the last time. I'm reading from my book now as Sholeh, a mother who has suffered so much with the execution of her daughter. This is the last visit they had together. "Come here," Sholeh calmly insisted, pointing toward a large armchair at the front of the conference table. "I want you to sit on my lap." For the first time since she entered the room, Rahane's face beamed with joy. "I am too heavy, Mom. Your lap will ache," Rahane replied with a childish grin on her face. Sholeh remembered back in April when Rahane was suddenly scheduled to be executed. She had rushed to prison for the last visit. At that time, she had asked her to sit on her lap, and Rahane responded in an offensive tone, saying, "No, I am not a child." Today, however, Rahane had willingly surrendered to her mother's wishes. She calmly walked over to the armchair and graciously sat down on her mother's lap. Sholeh was overcome with emotion. She struggled to hold back the tears. For the first time in over 6 months, she could actually touch her daughter once again and hold her in her arms. Today, there wasn't a glass pane separating them as in other visitations. As she laid her head against Rahane's chest, hugging her tightly, Sholeh could feel her body's warmth. It was unusually hot. She gently placed her hand across her forehead. "Rahane, you are sick. You have a fever." Rahane remained silent and lethargic. She did her best to stay calm. Sholeh wrapped her arms back around her sick daughter and began gently kissing her on the forehead. She remembered when Rahane was six. They had seen a pair of pigeons living on the roof of their house. And sometimes when they looked, the pigeons would put their beaks together to kiss each other. Since that memorable time, Sholeh would kiss Rahane on the lips, imitating the pigeons on their roof. She laughingly referred to her kiss as, quote, the pigeon's kiss. They would practice this together until Rahane turned 19, and then the magical kissing game faded away with maturity. However, today, in what could be the last day Sholeh would ever embrace her daughter, she pigeon-kissed her with a motherly delight once again. Embracing Rahane today, Sholeh's mind drifted back to the first day that she held her in her arms as a newborn baby. It was a wonderful, indescribable feeling. Today, she refused to stop hugging her. Sholeh refused to let go. Sholeh raised her head up from Rahane's chest and gazed deeply into her brown eyes. Rahane, what would you like me to do? Rahane remained silent as she nervously played with the string at the end of her shawl. Sholeh asked once again, this time with an insistent tone in her voice, what would you like me to do for you? Rahane smiled graciously and bent over, whispering in her mother's ear for fear that the guards were listening. Nothing. Sholeh felt helpless. She desperately wanted to say or do anything to give her daughter hope and to ease her mind. Why don't you ask me for anything? What food do you want? I don't want anything, Rahane calmly answered. In an instant, her mood changed. Rahane now had a look of frustration in her eyes. Do not ask to postpone the execution. Let it end. Sholeh's face of hope melted in despair. She struggled to contain her emotions. She noticed the look of hopelessness in Rahane's eyes. How long would I be able to live? 80 years? 100? Or 150 years? How long must I suffer? Sholeh pulled Rahane's head firmly against her chest and gently kissed her forehead. She had no words to offer her daughter. Deep down inside, her heart was breaking, overflowing with indescribable sadness and pains. All she could do right now was to hold Rahane tightly, just like she did the day she was born. Can you even begin to imagine what a mother like Sholeh was enduring at that moment, holding her daughter like she did as a newborn infant for the first time, and now her greatest fear on this day, October 24th, 2014, is this is the last day I will hold my daughter in her arms. Now, just before this event, there was a situation, and I'm pointing out the grief that these mothers have gone through, both Miriam and now Sholeh, because of the Iranian regime. Just shortly before this incident, Rahane telephoned her mother from prison, And she reported that she thought she was about to be executed. Mom, I'm currently handcuffed, and there is a car waiting outside to take me for execution sentence. Sholeh felt a sharp pain like a sword pierced her heart. She remembered back to April 14th, just a few months earlier, when she had to rush to see her daughter in prison for the last time, and then it was miraculously postponed. Now the drama and the turmoil was unfolding all over again. Goodbye, dear mom, Rahane's voice trembled with tears. All of my pains will finish early tomorrow morning. Be patient. We believe in life after death. I'll see you in the next world, and I will never leave you again, because being separated from you is the most difficult thing in the world. Sholeh was speechless. Pains shot across her chest. She couldn't bear the thought of never seeing her daughter again. I read these selections to you from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, to put on display Sholeh Pakravan as a mother. What she has endured as a mother, facing this horrible situation with her daughter in prison, accused of defending herself against a rape attack, and now sentenced to execution because they didn't believe her story. And this is a mother. God gave Rahane as a gift to her. And the pain that she has endured in the last 7 years, Sholeh once said, was worse than the pain that she would have endured giving birth to her. She said she had no pain in delivery, but she said, that is Sholeh, these last 7 years while Rahane is in parents was in prison is the worst pain I've ever endured as a mother. And I want to pay tribute to her today, as well as Miriam, two mothers, given the incredibly difficult task of raising their children. And I honor them today. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother, and I honor them for the work that they have done as mothers, the pain and the grief they have suffered as mothers. And I want to say to you something about my mother. My mother was a champion. When I was going through horrible, difficult time with nervous problems and panic attacks, she took care of me in such a magnificent way. She would be with me. She would ride in the car with me because I had these panic attacks. I couldn't drive by myself. I was just under such pressure. And my mom took care of me. My dad was a champion. He was the best breadwinner of the world. My dad was in the military. He was in World War II. He served under General Patton in Germany and in Europe toward the end of the war. And so I honor my mother and my father today in remembrance of the great things they did for us as children and how they sacrificed and they did everything to provide for their family. And so today I honor them, and I remember my dear friends in Iran and their parents and what life is like for them to try to raise their children under an oppressive government regime. And in the case of Miriam, for the last 8 years, she hasn't seen her daughters. Her husband has had to raise them. And Sholeh Pakravan had to say goodbye to her beautiful daughter, Rahane. And she had to watch this horrible Iranian regime execute the love of her life. There is good news for Sholeh, though. Sholeh and her other daughter, Shahzad, have been granted asylum in a specific host country. I'm not going to mention the name for their security and safety. And please pray for them as they go through the process of assimilating to this culture. And also pray for Sholeh's husband and other child in Iran. The government has confiscated their passports. They cannot leave. They're under great pressure. And so today, in honor of the fifth commandment, I'm remembering these precious parents. And I would say to you, please, if your parents are still alive, see them often, hug them often. God has said that when we honor our father and our mother, that there is a promise with that, that we may live long in the land and things would go well with us. Parents are a gift from God. I know there are some parents abusive to their children, and those are very, very horrible situations. But you know, in every situation that there has been abusive parents, that son or daughter has found and discovered their heavenly father has become their real parent and takes care of them when they're born again and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So in retrospect, if you've had an abusive relationship with your parents, realize this, you have a heavenly father that loves you unconditionally. And when you come to Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will discover a heavenly father. Maybe that you've never had a really good earthly father, but you have a heavenly father who has loved you from all eternity. And when he becomes your father through faith in Christ, you have a father that loves you forever and ever and ever. And so today, in honor of the fifth commandment, in honor of the teaching series, I have been spotlighting precious mothers in Iran that have paid an awful price of watching their children executed by this regime and watching their family members perish in prison. And so my heart goes out to them today, but I'm honoring them. And maybe you have some parents you would like to honor too. Parents, as I mentioned, are this gift from God. and we honor them because they have given so much and sacrificed so much to raise us. They have a tough job because our culture, most of our culture is anti-God. And most of our culture is opposed to any authority, any structure. And so our parents have stood in the gap and protected you and me. They have had to go through enormous sacrifice, physically, emotionally, to raise us. And God has put them there with a big calling, a big responsibility to take care of us. I have a very special guest right now on the cross in the desert. She, too, is a mother, and I'm going to welcome her. Welcome, Teresa, to the cross in the
desert.
Randy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, Teresa, in the last half an hour, I've been talking about the fifth commandment, which God says to honor your father and your mother, and there's a promise that your life may be long in the land. And I have focused in on two Iranian mothers that have suffered so much watching the execution of their family, and I've honored them because of the price they paid of being a mother. Now, Teresa, I want to talk about you as a mother, since we're talking about the fifth commandment today. And being a mother is a challenging, difficult job, but it's so rich and so rewarding. And what I want to talk to you about today is your role as a mother. And you could share with us about raising your family, what that job is like. And you are a very special parent to a young daughter who is autistic, and she has Down syndrome, and you've had to raise her under difficult circumstances. So I want you to talk about being a mother. I want you to talk about this fifth commandment and talk to us from the heart about the importance of obeying that fifth commandment. It says we are to honor our father and our mother. So go ahead and share with us, Teresa.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Can you hear me okay?
You're fine.
Okay. After you asked me to come on and share, I thought about it and wrote down some thoughts. Being a parent is one of the most challenging and rewarding jobs and opportunities that God has ever given me, and I appreciate that He allowed me to be a mother. And it kind of goes together. The being a parent and being a child both go together as far as what the Word talks about. There's a lot of talk about family and getting together, getting along together, and honoring one another and being committed. One thing that came to my mind was a conversation that I had one time with a couple that came to America from India. And they're a Christian couple, and they shared about how their parents organized their union, their joining. They among themselves and chose the spouse for their children. And you know, here in American culture, that is such a foreign thought. But they explained it to me, and the idea that it's a trust thing, and parents in India apparently know their children a lot better than a lot of parents here in America know their children, and they want the best for them, and their children know that their parent wants the best for them. And it's quite often that these marriages end up being, you know, very happy. They're very content and happy with each other. And one thing that they said was that we cannot choose our children. God gives us the children that he gives us. you know, except in situations like adoption, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But when, you know, they said, so why is it if God provides us the children, why is it that we want to choose who we marry? Why is that in your culture? And why is it so strange that we would not trust our parents to do that? But anyway, it was an interesting concept and something, you know, for a lot of us to consider and not think of it as something so strange, since it apparently does work for them.
Yes, you bring up an interesting point, and it's kind of a side journey, but in some cultures there's forced marriages where the spouse is very, very oppressed and
right.
not at all in agreement with their parents. And maybe in this particular situation it's a lot different. There was no stress or oppression. Maybe they both agreed this is a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to center mm-hmm. in on your particular situation as a mother.
Okay.
Today I'm honoring mothers. I'm not forgetting fathers at all because the command says to honor both father and mother. But I'm honoring mothers today. And first I talked about the Iranian situation, the grief that these mothers had to go through. Talk about the special needs child that you have. Talk about
okay.
her and what it's like to be a mother to her.
Okay. Actually, Autumn turns 17 tomorrow. She is my youngest out of seven children.
Wow.
I didn't know before she was born that she was going to have special needs. There were a couple of times that it seemed like the medical person was considering that there may have been a problem, but then it always went away, and I didn't really know until she was born about the Down syndrome. And she had a heart defect also that needed to be repaired when she was 1 year old, which was a major thing to go through, a major just stress and concern. That whole first year before she had the heart surgery was really difficult for her. It was mm-hmm. it caused her to be not strong physically, and so the normal milestones that a child accomplishes, she did not accomplish those until after her heart surgery. But then she took off after that. But,
wonderful.
One of the most difficult things is her lack of being able to communicate verbally.
Because of the Down syndrome.
Yeah, and that actually is more the autism part of her disability.
Okay.
She also has a lot of sensory issues.
Mm-hmm.
That make taking care of her challenging. But, you know, it is like she didn't say the word mom until she was four or five. And
oh.
it was like I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for her to say mom. But there was
wow.
one really, really cool thing that happened with her. When I can't remember how old she was, it was quite a few years ago. Since she's, for the most part, she's nonverbal. But we were in the car. She was sitting in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Jesus loves all of us. As
wow.
plain as day. And... Mm-hmm. I mean, my other kids looked at her, and I turned around. And I said, what? Did she say that? And it
wow.
was a really amazing moment. God, just little things like that
uh-huh.
that happen are just treasures for me.
You know, Teresa, as you're describing, you're describing mm-hmm. this wonderful event in your car when Autumn said those words that just blessed your heart. It must grieve your soul to hear about a country like Iceland that kills
mm-hmm.
their babies with Down syndrome in abortion.
Right. Yeah, they have pretty much wiped it out of their country.
And yet here is this beautiful child who, if she had lived and was born in Iceland and had a mother that decided, I don't want the difficulty of raising her, I have this choice through abortion, she would have prevented that young child who grew up to be in your family to say Jesus loves us all. That's just got to break
right.
your heart to hear that this is happening in other countries.
Right. Yeah. And it's happening more and more here in the United States also. There are very few children born with Down syndrome nowadays in America. I'm pretty sure the percentage is around 95%
mm-hmm.
that are diagnosed pre-birth are aborted.
Mm.
So there are very, it's disappearing. And recently I've been involved in taking another daughter to some rehearsals for a play that incorporates special needs kids with a mentor, and watching these kids interact with one another. And there's quite a few kids with Down syndrome in the play that they're going to do. So it's like, wow, you know, someone is taking care of each and every one of these kids and providing them the opportunity to do this and express themselves. And then most of these kids with Down syndrome are very joyful, and just they love music and dancing. Autumn has loved music since she was real little, and she would fall asleep when I would hold her and dance to music with her. And then when she was a little bit older, she would stand up near the kitchen counter, her head quite a bit lower than the counter, and the CD player was up there, and she'd just stand there and listen to her music. And she just really loves it, loves music. And that's one of her favorite things to do, is listening to music and dancing around.
Yes, yes. It takes a very special person to be the parent of one of these special needs children with Down syndrome and autism. And that's why today, when I think of the fifth commandment, we are to honor our father and mother. It takes a lot out of parents to raise a child. It's very challenging. What is the greatest
mm-hmm.
reward you have received so far in raising Autumn? If you had to think of just, there's many, I'm sure. What is the greatest reward in being the parent of the special needs child?
I think being able to recognize those little gifts, those little miracles, like
mm-hmm.
like just seeing her face light up in a smile. And I'm just so thankful that she can smile, and each little accomplishment is just, it's so big with her. And I also think and look around at the world around us, and we see all these children who end up having such big problems in society and in their families, how they are rebellious and going into all these very difficult things that take them away from God. And I know I'm not going to experience that with Autumn. She will never be rebellious in that kind of way. She is like in her own little world, sort of. And it's hard to explain, but there is no way that that kind of thing is going to happen with her.
And well, you
it's
have
refreshing.
Because you have planted good seed into her soil of her heart. You have raised her with a goal to know the Lord. You have raised her to see these little miracles and accomplishments,
mm-hmm.
these smiles, these wonderful moments where she seems like that she is alive and loving life in spite of her difficulties. And so being a mother raising a special needs child is very challenging, as you mentioned. But before I interviewed this morning, I was talking about a mother that has experienced incredible grief in trying to raise her child in
mm-hmm.
Iran, and I was referring to Sholeh Pakravan, who watched
right.
her daughter executed and put to death, and it's just unimaginable what a mother has to go through. You've talked about
right.
The greatest joy of reward of raising Autumn. What has been those difficult moments, perhaps a little bit like what Sholeh went through, those difficult moments? Can you think of those difficult moments and how
mm-hmm.
God brought you through them?
Well, God has given me patience and helped me to learn how to react in different situations, like if Autumn has a meltdown. They seem to be getting fewer and fewer, less often.
Uh-huh.
But somehow just learning how to wait it out and or remove her from a situation, it's kind of hard to explain. Like if I see her freeze up before
uh-huh.
going out a door, I have learned how to look around and see what is going on that is causing that. You know, she's afraid of bugs. So maybe there's one of those little ladybugs on the door, on the window. She's freaking out. She won't go through until I take care of the bug. She can't
okay.
verbally tell me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what has been the most challenging. I think her health problems are one of the most. That combined with her inability to communicate
mm-hmm.
verbally, it's reading her mind, reading her body language,
right.
knowing how to respond to that, how to help her be calm, how to help her do what I know she needs to do. If I know she's going to throw up, I want her to go to the bathroom to do it.
To
help her realize, just calm down and let's go in the other room to if you're sick, you know, that
mm-hmm.
Is one of the more challenging kind of things. One
what?
Thing I wanted to share too was about like the story of the prodigal son. How
okay.
that is such a reflection on rebellion against God and our whole world community, you know, how it's a example of our separation from God and a reminder of Jesus' act of obedience to his Father to go on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful way to look at it. Teresa, in conclusion,
mm-hmm.
as we wrap up our time together, what kind of advice would you have as a mother to those other mothers and fathers that have Down syndrome children and are really struggling, going through just difficult times like you have done? What would you advise them to do? What would you recommend them to do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, try to find someone to talk to, someone to pray with. Try as most as you can to get into the Word, to just to help give you strength. There's all kinds of different devotionals and teachings out there that can lift you up. And finding other parents who can relate at least in part going through, because so many people, for like normal population, parents of normal kids do not get it at all. They cannot relate. And so parents of special needs are drawn to one another for support and encouragement. So that's one thing I would really encourage people to do if they find themselves in a situation with a child with special needs, is stay in the Word and find friends to pray with and encourage you. And you'll find yourself being just as much a help to them as they are to you. And that's one of the amazing things about being a parent of special needs child, is how I have found that God has used me just in the community of families of special needs kids, being able to reach out. A couple of years ago, I met a family who has adopted a few kids with Down syndrome, and they don't live here in my town, but they have had to travel here from where they live to take their children to the hospital for different needs. And so I was able to go there and meet them and be supportive of them during that time. And
that is wonderful.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. I just want to honor you today for being a very special mother to a very special child named Autumn, who represents a population of children in some countries that are unwanted and aborted. And thank God that you had Autumn, and that you took care of Autumn, and that you are raising her to be a godly girl, and you're watching her through all of these different stages. And you're watching a beautiful gift from God blossom. And thank you for being such a true, dedicated mother. And I honor you today in light of that fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And
thank
I want to thank you,
Randy,
so much for sharing that with me.
Thank you so much for inviting me to come on. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your honoring me, that it just melts my heart.
Well, it is a privilege to know you, Teresa, and thank you for sharing this story. Perhaps someone that is listening may know someone with Down syndrome, and this will really help them with their child that's a special needs child. Thank you once again.
Okay. Bye-bye, Randy.
Bye. Well, Teresa is an example of a parent, and I'm thinking of parents today. Mothers in particular, though, and I've been talking about the mothers in Iran, and now talking with Teresa today, she is a special mother to a special needs child. And as you think about Down syndrome's autistic cases today, just remember, Autumn is a gift. Those children are a gift from God. You may not consider that a gift. That's such a challenging work to have to raise a child in those circumstances, but believe me, God has blessed Teresa with this child in a very, very miraculous way. And it's such a shame and a heartache to think of other countries like Iceland that gives parents the choice to destroy these precious Down syndrome autistic child through abortion. It is unthinkable. I want to share with you a song today to wrap up everything. This is a song by Carrie Job. It's a song of encouragement to those mothers and fathers that are suffering grief because of their children. It's a song called I Am Not Alone. We're going to hear it right now on the cross in the desert. I'll be back with a final comment. beautiful worship music of Carrie Job, I Am Not Alone, a song of tribute to our very special mothers today, Maryam Akbari, Mona Farad, and Sholeh Pakravan, and Teresa Botkin. These are three special mothers that I want to pay tribute today in light of this fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. God bless you. This Wednesday, a special tribute program to Rahana Jabari on the cross in the desert at 9:30 a.m. I will see you this Wednesday. God bless you. Have a good week.